Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Jill, who is here to speak with us about a lovely article that she wrote for the Last Monastery newsletter. Welcome, Jill. Jill? Not hearing you. Don't know if I can be heard.
Jen, can you hear me?
I can. Yep.
I can't see Jill in the queue. She was here a minute ago, and then she disappeared. So let me look. There we go. Yep, I got her.
Oh, great.
Jill, are you live? Great.
Hey, Jill.
Hi, Jen.
Thanks for being with us. Right through Mercury retrograde.
Oh,
right?
God.
We're just ready for everything.
Yes, and can I tell you, here in New York City, we're having such a violent lightning storm. It's just a thunderstorm. It's it's crazy. So it's all fascinating.
It is all fascinating. I'm also on the Eastern Seaboard, and we are not having that. So maybe we have that.
Oh, really?
To too.
It could be coming your way.
It might be. So I don't know if you heard my little intro, but I was saying that you're joining us this afternoon or this evening, depending on where you are, to talk with us about a lovely article that you wrote for the Monastery newsletter. So thanks for being with us.
Oh, great to be here. Yes, I'm happy to talk about it.
So I wonder if you might just, maybe not everyone has had a chance to read it, so might kind of give us the background and the sort of parable, if you will, and tell us a little bit about what you saw as you laid that out.
Yes. Was noticed. So it's the story is about just a lot of noticing that I did and something that came out of that. And so I work in Midtown Manhattan, and every day I would notice, or I would just hear this guy sitting on the sidewalk, and he would ask for spare change. And, on the sidewalk in Manhattan, there's, you're usually walking with like 20 other people down the sidewalk. And so it just sort of would fall into all of the other regular noises. But then for some reason, I started to hear it. And when I would hear it, I would feel like, I want to give something. And then something would come in and, condition would come in and say, well, studies show that if you want to give money, you shouldn't give it to individuals, just like this whole thing. Yeah. And so I would pass this man 3 times a week. And every time, now I had passed him before, didn't notice him, passed him, started to notice him, passed, and now I'm noticing, the conversation, which was, it would happen every time. I would pass, I would hear him, and I would feel like I should give. Then it became not the desire to give, but you should give. So it moved, that first initial desire to give was, got completely covered over by, this ego conversation, you should give. Well, you know what the studies say. And then that would, I would just move on to get my lunch, and then next day, same thing, hear him ask for money, and then the conversation. One day I was walking and nobody's giving him money. It's just we're all in our same little pods. And then one day it just dropped in, what exactly would happen if I gave him my spare change? What is this, thing that conditioning is trying to keep me from or whatever? And it didn't phrase itself that way in my head, but, afterwards, I was actually writing this article, that's, I think, the way I phrased it. And very similar to what happened with my friend on the street, in that I would hear about giving to the monastery, and it would be in, I think at first maybe I just, again, put it out of my mind, or it wasn't in my conscious awareness, and then it came into my conscious awareness, and I started to notice it, and then I would notice the conversation about giving to the monastery that would happen in my head, back and forth, should I, shouldn't I, and then, it was exactly the same process as with this person, this man, and then it just sort of, so it was an evolution, and it was, that financial participation for me was the same process and an opportunity for practice, and to see yeah, to see what is the human condition, I guess. What is my condition, you know?
Truly. And that willingness and patience to stay with ourselves through that mm-hmm. process, not to yeah. turn away at any of those points that it wants us mm-hmm. to turn away, either I don't want to look at that, or that's too hard, or I'm a bad person, or I should give, as you said, mm-hmm. or I shouldn't give, or I don't want to, or and not to turn away at any of those points, but to use each of those as the portal to seeing what's next, seeing what's next, seeing what's next.
Yes, that there's nothing wrong with anything, any of my experience. There's if I'm resistant, yeah. there's nothing wrong with that. Then I just see there is resistance there. And then I get to yeah. just experience it and look and just, I don't even have to do anything else, actually. Just like, oh, there's the resistance. And then, you yeah. know, on to, oh, there's the resistance. And it's like, yeah. and it just for me, it just, what was underneath it somehow gets revealed. And it's really glorious, absolutely glorious. It's like so incredibly freeing. I wish it for everyone. It's really astounding.
It is astounding. And the last really fun connection I just made as you were saying that is then what's so miraculous is that if we look at the content of practice, then when we're all doing that process that you're describing, practice is supported by the transformation of people's practice, literally.
Yes. Yep.
Wow.
Yep. Yep. Really and then fun. That just brings like more gratitude for me. You know, it's
yes,
just like
exactly.
then you're just like it's just it all. It just becomes more and more mind blowing, and yes, more gratitude. It's just amazing, amazing.
Oh, amen, amen. Well, Jill, we are at the hour. A little, couple of minutes past, actually. Was there anything else you wanted to add in before we end?
No, I just really appreciate the opportunity to talk about it. And, yeah, it's been such a pleasure.
Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you so much.
Take care. Good night.
Thank you. Good night.
And, Ashwini, we'll turn it over to you and Sherry.
Thanks, Jen. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Ashwini. Yes, that was very fun, wasn't it?
Yes, and I didn't say good morning, how do you do anything, it's how you do everything.
That's
it's a
right.
different radio show.
That's right. And you cut out, actually, when you were saying thank you to Jill. So there, you didn't say that, and we didn't hear you say the other, and now here we are. We're all unmuted and ready to go, and it's working.
Yes, and we have some really exciting news about how that transformation that Jill and Jen were talking about have actually affected our finances after the letter that you wrote, and we're looking forward to sharing with that information with the Sangha over the next couple of weeks.
Yes, I'm really thrilled about that, and I know that I've been wanting to send out a follow-up letter, and I know that people are working diligently to really to get a comprehensive view of so we send out accurate information about the changes mm-hmm. that have mm-hmm. happened with people stepping up and saying, oh. Oh, I can do that. So it's fun and exciting.
Yes, it is. And mm-hmm. there's nothing that it's the delight in the process of transformation that makes all the difference, right? We say this at the end of every there's nothing wrong with your retreat. It's participation that assists us to make this our practice. And when it's
yes.
our practice, our relationship with it is just so different. There's no sense of being owed or any of those things that separate us from each other, right? That Jill
no,
was pointing
no,
at about the
yeah.
man in the street, yeah?
Yeah, yeah, well,
All right, here's our first caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Julian calling from Portland, Oregon.
Hello, Julian.
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Ashwini. It's so awesome to hear both of your voices.
We just spent a little time together recently, didn't we?
We did, far less than
you and Ashwini and Jen and Scott and Chris, but still, yeah.
Yes.
So,
yeah.
How was the reentry?
Honestly, I am just lit up. I'm lit up. of course, you know, the voices are there, but I feel like everywhere I look is just practice. I just have an opportunity, like, everywhere I see. And and I also I've been digging through the Open Air archives. You know, I downloaded the Project Joy app. I just realized, I mean, I have so much gratitude because I was afraid, you know, coming home after doing the There Is Nothing Wrong With You retreat, like, I hope I have enough tools. And, oh, man, there are a lot of tools. There are so many tools.
So I try to scare all of you when you leave, right, with that.
Yes, now, you do.
When you go out there, you know, you're going to get hammered.
Yep.
Just so that people are prepared that there is very likely a backlash that's on its way, and what you're saying I think is a helpful outcome of that, which is people are really focused on, okay, I need support. You know, I'm not just going to walk out there and think this is going to last. I need support.
Right,
where is
right.
it? And as you say, mm-hmm. we got a lot of it.
There is so much. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, I had one moment where the voices were coming in the other day, just saying, you know, nothing about your life has changed. So how do you expect to feel different? And when I listened back to that and had a chance to interact as the mentor, I just thought, nothing has changed, but I feel so different, and that's all
yes.
that matters.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, the content of our lives doesn't have to change, does it? The content can be whatever it is, because
right.
the process that we're bringing to that content is vastly different, and so everything is different.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And something that you said during our brief interaction about that moment where you know the voices are talking to you. And they're saying stuff that's dragging you down, and you have this moment where you say, I am not going to do that to this person. I'm not going to let you do that to this person.
Mm-hmm.
That has really stuck with me these last days, and in moments where I could have veered into self-hate. I find
mm-hmm.
that such a helpful reminder.
Oh, good.
Yeah,
because you can see him. Right?
Yes.
You can see mm-hmm. him right there. He's a
mm-hmm.
good person. No.
Yeah.
No. You mm-hmm. can't treat him that way. No.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And to realize that we have the ability to do that is just staggering. You know, for most of us, we feel victimized by that stuff all of our lives.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, from the time we're small children right on up until we encounter something like There's Nothing Wrong With You, we're just victimized by that. And to realize, I can say, no,
mm-hmm.
you can't
mm-hmm.
do that, and I have the power to stop it.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
And then, you know, on retreat, there are moments, you know, of difficulty, for sure. There
mm-hmm.
were for me, and I remembered, you know, at certain points wishing that one of the instructors would notice that I was struggling and have something to offer to me. And I realized, you know, sort of late in the game on retreat, I'm that person who notices that
what?
I'm struggling.
Yes.
I get to be that person that says, hey, are you having a hard time? I see that. Let's work with that.
Yes.
So
you're fine. I'm here
huge.
With you. You're not alone.
Yeah.
It's okay. We can do this. We can handle this. It's all right.
Yes.
You're fine.
Yes. That is the unlimited resource, you know. That is, I'm always here. So,
yes.
Yeah, that was a powerful discovery, for sure.
Uh-huh. Oh, I love it. Well,
yeah,
I'm
so,
very
but,
happy for you. You're going to stay plugged
yes.
in, right? You're going to stay connected.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I'm right. here so that I can dig back into the archives and find myself and say, hey, I did it once. I can do it again.
Right, right. Absolutely. And, you know, Portland is so close.
It's not that far. It's true.
It's not that far. It's really not. Yeah.
Well, thank you to you both so much. And it's great to make contact.
It's great to hear your voice. Thank you, Jillian.
All right. All right.
Take care.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Jillian. Oh, it's so much fun when when people who've just encountered practice come back on the show and tell us how they're doing. It's just a lovely moment.
Yes. Well, and it was so fun for me. Was it just last Friday night, I guess, with these folks? How many people were on their first retreat ever?
Mm-hmm.
I felt so privileged that we were, you know, we were the retreat they chose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and to make it on a call like this, make a commitment after you come out of a retreat, go up against the voices, and then decide to put yourself in the queue. That's that's the willingness of the practitioner. You know, it's just tremendous.
Gutsy. Yeah.
All right. Here we have our next caller, Sherry. You're live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Gail.
Hello, hey, Gail.
Hi. I was just on the retreat, too.
Well, son of a gun.
Yeah.
And how's it going for you?
Well, it's been very interesting. I just literally drove into my driveway about an hour ago, took a nap, and woke up at 4:50. I went, oh, my gosh, I've got a call.
Oh, for heaven's sake. Now, do you mean you just drove back from the retreat or you just drove back from somewhere else?
No, I drove back from the retreat. I live in Arizona, and I drove back from Murphy. Yeah.
Wow.
It took me a while.
But you had good company.
What?
You had good company.
I did. That's what I wanted to talk about is I had an interesting image come up. The first day I was driving back, which was actually Sunday, because I just stayed over in Murphy's on Saturday after the retreat. And on Sunday, I basically was driving over to the Sierras to get into Bishop. And there was a new fire that broke out Sunday morning at Murphy's, and it was so smoky. And conditioned mind grabbed that, and it was with me all day. And it was horribly smoky. You know, it was, and if you thought it was bad on Murphy's side, it was even worse on the other side of the mountain because all the smoke went over the mountain and settled in the valley over there. And then there, I went over 4, which was full of Sunday traffic, and I was going, oh my gosh, this is, you know, and then the next day, Monday, completely different drive. I mean, it was still smoky. And what I realized is that on Sunday, I had conditioned mind in the front seat, and somehow the mentor got stashed in the back. And then on Monday, I went, oh, my gosh, and I put the mentor in the front seat, and the conditioned mind went into the back seat where it always should be. It is.
Yes,
you know,
or the trunk.
It's a perfect
be in the trunk.
Rider. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, oh, yeah, and then I've had a great trip ever since.
Oh, good. So now you know how to position all these folks.
Yeah.
And how to have a great trip.
Yeah, because you know, conditioned mind is the ultimate backseat driver.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, it really is, and wants to grab the wheel whenever possible.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mhm.
So that was a perfect image to come away from the retreat with.
Uh-huh. And the air is now clear where you are?
Oh, yeah. It was like I hit Arizona, and it was blue sky and big puffy cumulus clouds. There's green grass. There's wildflowers, sunflowers. It's beautiful here.
Good.
It's
good.
Only 87. Yes.
Wow, only 87.
Yeah.
Wow.
And that's something for me to say, too. You know, I was like, oh, yeah. Yeah, well, I've been through 112. There's 112 in Vegas when I went through there. But,
yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Perspective.
Yeah. as Julian was just noting, depending on what's going on with us, that is either a big problem, those things are a big problem, life-ruining
right.
problems, or
mm-hmm.
they're just the way it is, and it's not
yes.
actually a problem at all, and we're just perfectly fine and happy.
It was amazing how the heat was so much different on the way back. It was so much more tolerable.
That heat had changed completely while you were on retreat.
It is.
Amazing.
Just
yeah. All right. Well, thank you, Gail. I'm glad you made it home safely.
Me too. Me too. And thank you both and to everyone on the retreat. It was wonderful.
Good. Good. I'm so glad. All right. Well, now you know where we are. You can
yep.
drive back anytime.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Thanks. Bye. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Gail. That's just a wonderful image that oftentimes conditioning drives the car. And we really have mm-hmm. to practice taking the wheel away and driving
mm-hmm.
with the mentor. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. With that mentor right there in the... Because if we stay with these images, it's good to be driving the car. And
yeah.
it's good to have the mentor right there as the passenger. Because
mm-hmm.
it's not that we want to be a passenger in our own life. We want to learn
mm-hmm.
to take the wheel and make the choices and enjoy the trip.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the mentor
yeah.
is going to help us do that. Not do
mm-hmm.
it for us,
yes.
but help us
yes.
do that.
Exactly
mm-hmm.
so. Yeah.
yeah.
Well, here's our next caller, Sherry, and I'm going to see if I can play our little ad. If we cannot, then...
we'll have another caller.
We'll have another caller. So I'm going to try our next caller here.
All right.
Here we go. Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hi, this is Mary Jane in Palo Alto.
Well, hello, Mary Jane. I think you were on retreat this last week, too. Is that correct?
I was.
Uh-huh. I thought I recognized your voice. How are
and
you doing?
I've had ups and downs. That night I was a bit pummeled when you said be prepared for the backlash. So I thought, oh, that
mm-hmm.
was my backlash, like Friday night. I thought I had gotten it out of the way.
I've done that.
But mm-hmm. it was pretty powerful because there was a new backlash where I found, you know, I've done pretty well with the voices towards myself, but when self-hate goes after someone else, the projection,
mm.
I was really having trouble. And I just happened to listen to a recording or a Project Joy, I'm not sure, or sorry, the radio show or this show, and someone said, or you told the person, do two-handed recording. Like if you're feeling, if there's some harshness coming out, it's like someone who's not being tended to within you. And
mm-hmm.
so I did that and it worked incredibly well. To really.
So Mary Jane,
for
anybody,
mm-hmm.
Just to catch people up in case they don't know and see if this is what happened. So you realized there was something going on with you because there was the harshness there. And so
yeah.
rather than either try to stuff that or just let it spew out, you picked up the recorder and let that person talk into the recorder, get it all out into the recorder.
Exactly, get it all out and
mm.
then listen to it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, right, and then I do a separate recording, I guess, at like a response, because then I just keep listening to the response. I don't know if you want us to go back to what they said originally, but... That part said originally, but
well, no, because what I'm projecting is that was complete. You got it out. It's kind of like a splinter that's festered. You know, you clean out the wound, and it's gone. Now we're on to the healing process, which is that for you the second the second recording, right, or the listening to what the mentor has to say, or that, did that happen next?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and what it just twisted, it just I just turned a corner in that, like, again, rather than just, I think maybe I was trying to just have compassion for the being who's like projecting, but somehow getting it out on that recorder really helped me see through it and see what was going on and really give that person, like, let them know, like, they, you know, I'm taking care of them and they're not going to be in that situation. And, you know, it was kind of like someone, old part was showing up and they weren't going, they felt like they were going through something that had happened before, but they weren't now, you know, but it was coming out like, don't do this to me again. You know, don't, I went through it once. I don't want it again. And so I needed to take care of myself. Of that part of
it. Yes. Yes. And that's why we hope, and if you don't take care of that part of you, then you'll be needing to let her vent again, right? But you got the message. You realized, okay, I haven't been taking care of myself. I haven't been addressing that. And so that resentment or frustration or hurt or anger, whatever the emotion might be, it builds and builds and builds and builds and builds because, in this case, she feels what she feels, and nobody's attending to her. But now you heard what she had to say, you realize it, you see it, and you know how you're going to be with yourself in the future so that hopefully that doesn't happen again. It's not a it's not an avoidance. It really, it's like you, with our cars images with Gail, you know, you take care of your tires so that they don't go flat or blow out.
Actually,
maybe
you know
they will, right? Maybe they will. There's, you know, it's not a control thing, but we're doing our best.
My tire didn't go out.
Oh.
Yeah. It went out when I left the monastery, yeah.
Oh, but, for heaven's sake. Yeah, well, see, now you add that to your list of things to care for really well so that you, yeah, so there's that conscious awareness that's coming to the situation, and you feel, you know, in a funny way, it goes back to what Jill was talking about with finances. So when we are giving, and it's the same process as taking care of, and we feel really good about that. So it's not like it's a hardship for you to take care of a part of you who is struggling over something.
No,
it
it's much
really
easier
good.
To do that than to have the self-hate come out so much, because that's really coming out towards me. So, yeah, it just felt it just felt good. And and I guess I'll just, the last thing I just want to add is that, you know, I've had, you know, getting a little identified, but really, you know, feeding the good wolf, like feeding the light room, where's my attention, really much more than I had been. Like, doing this retreat again is, if you're feeling you're struggling, I would say, you know, it really helped me a lot to reinforce a lot of practices to get back to the monastery. And what Ashwini had said to me in group was to trust, like, what's working for me too. And like, if I get stuck, that I can randomly listen to a show and find that works. Or now I've really returned to sitting and being still. You know, that was a big insight. And just looking, you know, when you're seeing yourself through the wall, just like, I'm with you, you know, I feel like there's something almost nothing more powerful than just being with yourself, that wall.
Yes. Well, yes, it's such a commitment to oneself, isn't it? I am going to just sit down here and just be with you. Which is that kind of care and attention and acceptance is what we all crave. And so to practice that, to be with ourselves in that way, is so, healing.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, thank you so much.
I'm glad I
put that commitment to call, and I called, and I think it's just, doing that and realizing, like, if I'm suffering, if whoever's wanting to avoid practice, actually to let that person speak and see what they're really needing, but that there's this way where I shifted to, like, oh, I should call the show, to like, oh, I need the support,
mm-hmm.
you know.
It's for me. It's for
me.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It takes care of me to do these things.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes. Yeah.
So, okay.
And before you go, one mm-hmm. other connection with what you just said, the parts of us, if we look at it in that way, the parts of us who don't want to practice have most mm-hmm. of life. So to let the parts of us who do want to practice, who do want to come to center and be still and present and that sort of thing, to give them that is a tremendous help to everyone and everything.
Yeah.
You know
yeah.
what I mean? Yeah. Yeah.
yeah
but
exactly.
Somebody doesn't want to practice, well, good. Then, you go to work and you do all
yeah.
these other things, and we'll bring conscious awareness to it slowly. But, you've got the rest
easier,
of life.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, life gets better the more I practice, right? That
That's right.
It's
That's
actually
exactly right.
really taking care to be, like I said, to be still, to...
Yes.
Just be with his mm-hmm. being. Like, because actually, it's hard to, if you are listening to stuff all the time, like, I mean, podcasts or, not this podcast, but, if you're always having sound in the background, it is
yeah.
hard to hear
yeah.
what
yes.
what is
yeah.
really going on for you.
Yes, what's really going on for you and what conscious compassion and awareness is offering.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Okay, well
thank you. And since you're a neighbor, you're even closer than Portland. We look forward to seeing you.
Oh, thank you.
All right. Take care.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye.
Thanks, Mary Jane. So, Sherry, I'm going to see if the ad will work. And
okay.
if it does, I'm going to put you on mute and just we'll see how it goes.
All right.
Were you able to hear it, Sherry? Sherry?
No. Oh, I see. I was talking along. Yeah, now I'm on the funky reverberation.
Okay, well, I'll just say that didn't work. How about that? And
yes.
moving on
and you
caller.
Can tell us, well, Ashwini, you could tell us what it was. Was it recording and listening, or was it?
It was Zen Awareness
was
Coaching.
Simply Celebrate. Oh, okay. All right. Zen Awareness Coaching for people who have been through, that's an unfortunate phrasing, who have attended the There's Nothing Wrong With You retreat. Zen
mm-hmm.
Awareness Coaching mm-hmm. is one of the options for support.
Mm-hmm. Well, and
is that
to
right?
me, the power, yes, and the power of that is, the power of coaching is that it's really one of those tools that assists you on a one-on-one basis to deepen your awareness of a particular process, right? That's the focus of the focus of the six-week session is some content area with a curriculum that allows you to train yourself to deal with any process in any content area.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's very supportive. Very good. Oh, I think that was a great ad. Thank you, Ashwini. We're going to hire you.
Okay, thank you. All right, here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, it's Janice from Victoria, Canada.
Well, hello, Janice.
I thought that was a great ad.
wasn't that good?
Yeah.
It kind of makes you want to have a coach, doesn't it?
Yes, yeah. I was thinking of, it's been a while since I had a coach, and I was just thinking of all the ways that I've been supported by the monastery, and I wanted to report. I have so much joy when I hear of all those folks that are able to get to the monastery. Yeah, it's, you know, in the old days I would have said I had a lot of envy because I just can't get there right now. But I have to say, I just have so much joy for them to be there.
And, oh, good.
Yeah, and their enthusiasm, whether they're old timers or first timers or whatever, it's just, it's inspiring me.
Mm-hmm. And we're, we're coming up on your time of year, aren't we?
Yes.
October is your...
Yes.
Yeah, is your time to be at the monastery, so...
Yes.
Well, we'll do our best to hold the place for you when it comes around again. You can come.
Yes, and one never knows how it might manifest either.
Exactly. Anything is possible, isn't it, as we know?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So
I was kidding. I don't know if I should say this, Janice, but I'm going to say it anyway, okay? Because it occurred to me. That's why. I was kidding with Ashwini the other day, and it said, do you think we should ask Janice and Patty and some of the other folks up there in British Columbia if they know of any place that we could plan to do a retreat up there?
Ooh,
it would be fun to come up there and do a retreat. So I'm just going to put that out now, okay?
Just in case,
you know.
I know a place. I know a place.
Okay.
Yeah.
We can begin to talk.
Okay.
All right. So what's going on?
So projecting joy. That's what's going on. And so that was last year's year-long retreat. And it's amazing that people can get the app, all that hard work that went into that, making that available. So I wanted to just, this was like a demonstration. Well, I'm on a year-long retreat, and oh man, I wanted to talk about joy last week. And then today I wanted to be, I mean, I'm in the queue, and I really wanted to say, I'm a person who can see joy everywhere. I wanted to say that. But I got I did get to tell my reflective listening buddy about it yesterday, and I've talked to the mentor. I still wanted to say it on the radio show.
And there you are. So you're the kind of person. Go ahead, Zan.
I'm the kind of person
who can see joy everywhere. Was that
yep,
how it
that
went?
Can see joy everywhere. And the experience recently that was so amazing was that I went with a friend and a little kid to an observatory about half an hour from here on the top of a mountain, and it's about 100 years old. And it was so joyful all the way because I could see that thing way in the distance. I didn't know if or when it was ever open. And then it was it's only by donation, it's free, but it's because all the funding was kind of slashed for the being open. But we got in because we had a kid, and the person in the parking lot said, oh, that's what it's about. Have you got a kid in the car? I said, yeah. And they said, you're in because we are here for the kids. And then took the
you
road.
Said, I'm a kid.
Yeah, oh yeah,
I might
I'm
not
just
look
a big
like
kid.
It to you, but I'm a kid.
Yeah. And they're all volunteers. And we got up there parking. There, you know, the view was astonishing. And so it was like a big perspective. Then there were all these stairs, a pathway, and 70 stairs around. And, you know, what I was really practicing was the joy of not taking anything for granted, because maybe even a couple of years ago, I don't know if I could have managed all those stairs. And when we got up there, there were all these people who had just volunteered and dragged their big telescopes up and stuff, and they had set them up so you could look at flares on the sun, and then as it got dark, you could watch the rings around Jupiter and the or Saturn, I guess it was, and the moons of Jupiter, and it was like we're all working it kind of in the dark, you know, because you need your eyes to kind of adjust. And it was like this little boy said to his mom and me, we have to hold hands because, you know, we just it's just safer if we're all walking on in the dark like this together. I thought, holy mackerel, that whole place, that whole place was like a sangha up there.
And it was
all ages of people with their telescopes that were freely offering their time and explaining. And it was kind of the privileged environment because you can see their faces or anything. And it was just like, it was such a delight. And then inside the big telescope projected in real time what it was seeing, like these giant nebulas that were like hundreds of thousands of light years across. And when I came home, I really kind of looked at, you know, a person could have gone and had that experience and come home and thought, oh my God, we're just nothing. We're this little speck of dust.
But I
experienced so much appreciation for the miracle of life, this teensy little planet. Why aren't we all trying to save it together?
Holding hands, walking along in the dark.
And just that, you know, and each of us is a part of that whole, you know, that vast, vast, vast space. And so I wrote an email to, you know, all the members of my family with some of the pictures I'd taken of the scope or the standing on the edge. This place is called the center of the universe. I thought that was really fun.
Which, of course, it is, as is everything.
And I just wrote and I just said, you know, this was an amazing experience. It made me realize that how precious we all are. And we're just here for a blink. And let's enjoy it.
Enjoy and appreciate.
Yeah. So
well, that's a lot of joy.
Just being in joy. Oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So gratitude for the practice that sees all of that.
Yes, indeed. Yeah.
Thank you.
All right.
And
well,
thank you, everybody.
I will say to you then, safely, go happy.
Oh. I wish that
no
for
problem
everybody.
With that, huh?
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Janice.
Good night.
Good night.
Thanks, Janice. It just makes me smile, Sherry.
Oh.
a giant smile.
Lighten up the world. Mm-hmm.
Well, and I project it's what Mary Jane was talking about at some level, and it's like, what is working, right?
Yeah.
I mean, when we go up and have that experience and our focus of attention is on what is good, what's innocent, what's kind, what's togetherness, we start to actually experience the world that way rather than what's wrong and what needs to be different and how I feel separate and how I'm not enough when I compare myself to a galaxy that's 100 million light years across, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That we can appreciate it because it is us.
Yes.
And
yes,
we can say thank you because we realize that.
Yeah. Because we are that complexity is not just out there, it's in here as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm. Well, I think we have time for more callers, Sherry, so I'm just going to...
Yeah.
Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
This is Joyce in California.
Well, hello, Joyce.
Hello. I haven't been to the monastery for a long time, so it's great to
You better get there.
before the smoke clears.
Mm-hmm. Hearing all these people who have just come back and just they're so full of all that good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, I am on the call today with some trepidation, but that's from conditioning. I've been having a tussle with being in the clutches of the beastie here. And hearing people talk has certainly changed some of that. And I guess fear is the place I've been in. Because the other day I stumbled into a place in conditioning that I was really stuck in when I was in like my junior and senior year in high school. And it sounds strange to say it, but it was all of the pain and suffering that went on there. And to be dropped into it again like that was it felt like I would rather die than be there. And I'm not there.
The good news is, you don't need to be.
Yes.
So, right? And it just happened. I don't know if you're aware of it, but so you were dropped into that place, and then you are here in this conversation, listening to people have the experience that they have, and you move completely out of that place and into this conversation.
Yes.
Yeah? And then what happened is you started talking about that place, and you could feel yourself moving right back into it.
Yes.
Right? Which is what egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate is always angling for. So it wants to keep us in a conversation about something wrong and not enough, a conversation about suffering where it's the energy away from us and where it's siphoning off the life force. We turn our attention to being present, to being excited about life and what goes on and that sort of thing. And there's nothing in that for ego. Now, I project, would feel completely different. Oh, yes, all right, here we are. Because you're really not in your junior or senior year in high school at this point. Here you are. And ego has nothing to cling to. So what it wants to do is get you to turn your attention back to that, back to last week when you got dropped into that place, back into what it was like when you were 16, 17, 18 years old. It wants you to focus on that, look at that, talk about that, so that it can pull you right back into that place and the energy.
Wow.
True?
Absolutely true.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And that's what it's doing all the time. That's the movement all the time. And the movement that we need to make is the movement that you made in getting on, in this conversation, right? So that you turn, so when Julian was talking about coming out of the monastery and there's open, 13, 14 years or whatever it is of open air archives, there's now the Project Joy app, there's the recording and listening website. There's a ton of classes, virtual meditation, you know, just all these conversations, well, virtual meditation, not so much conversation, but you know what I mean. All these conversations that a person can be in that are bringing us here into that enjoyment and appreciation that exists here, so that we feel lit up and that ego feels very unhappy and dissatisfied because it's not getting fed. So it's, well, think about that. Remember that, how that felt? And yeah, okay. Got
wow.
it?
I got it. And and the thing that so knocked me off was the just this humongous amount of pain and suffering that I felt in like a 30-second period. Just wham.
Yeah. Now, picture it this way, okay? So you're going along and you'd be like Janice and her little team there in the dark, and you walk into something and you crack your forehead. Okay? And it hurts like a son of a gun. Okay? I mean, it's really, really painful. And then it passes. Uh-huh. Now, again, what conditioning wants us to do, what ego wants us to do, is go back, tell the story, drag it out, milk it, live for as long as possible in that, the pain of that awful experience. And if you've got a big goose egg on your forehead, all the better. Or maybe you've got a concussion, for God's sake, right? And ego just laps that up, right? Because it's getting all the attention. But what we can do is say, wow, that hurt like a son of a gun. But in truth, it doesn't hurt now.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Wow.
So then, when we get to that, it doesn't hurt now, we can focus on, wow, that could, we were just on a little retreat in Las Vegas. You may recall it since you were there. And
yes.
And one of the monks nearly put her eye out on the sharp corner of a car door. I mean, it was a split second away from losing an eye, right? And so quickly to be able to go to that place of, wow, that was really painful, and wow, that could have been really disastrous.
Yeah.
And that's what we can do with all of these kinds of places that ego wants to drag us into. So there's all that pain. And then you look and go, yeah, and actually it's not painful now. And if I don't get into the story, if I don't follow that track down to, oh, God, that was awful. It was so horrible. I was so young and so without any resources. And I just, oh, my God, it was awful. Yeah, if we don't do that, then we realize, oh, that pain's actually passed through. Okay, good. What a beautiful tree.
Yes. It tried to pull me into past lives. And I can't even name all the ways it tried to keep me in that place.
Yeah, and thank wow. God there's always something beautiful to focus on that is in current time.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Oh, my.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Again and yet again, thank you.
Again and yet again, there we go. All right, go happy.
Thanks, gratitude. Joyce. Thank you.
Sherry, we have 4 more minutes. I think we might be able to squeeze one more caller in. Okay,
yes,
here we go.
Tasha said this morning, happy to be squeezed.
Yes. Here we go. Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Andrea.
Hello, Andrea.
Hi. Well, I'm actually calling because Ziggy wanted to talk to you.
Hi.
Wow. Hi, Ziggy. What's going on?
Speak up, sweetie. Hello.
Hello. What's going on, Ziggy? What are you up to?
Nothing really.
Just living life?
Yeah. Well, I guess he's afraid to say it. He's a little tongue-tied, but he's been looking at anxiety, and he's been reading your fear book, Sherry.
Ah. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
All right. And recognizing some of those sensations that get labeled fear and anxiety?
Yeah, like fear of fear.
Yes. Oh, that's it, isn't it? There's the definition. That's a great definition of anxiety, isn't it? I'm afraid that I'm going to be afraid. I'm afraid something scary is going to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm afraid something I won't be able to handle. I won't be able to stand it. It'll be awful. Yeah. Ziggy, do you record and listen at all?
Not really. I should though.
It might help. You know,
I think it
when those yeah. Do you hear the voices talking to you about what you should be afraid of or anxious about?
I actually do a lot.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
You do.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So maybe to counter those voices, to have some recordings about what you know to be true, because at the ripe old age that you have reached now, in fact, you have lived through everything, even the things that the voices said you couldn't stand or were going to be too awful. You've made it through all of it.
Yes.
Yeah. So you're actually somebody that you can trust to handle situations.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, it may not always be fun or comfortable or whatever, but you make it through. You get to the other side. You can look back on things that were scary last year or the year before that or the year before that, and they're not scary to you now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So anything that you came to in the fear book that you want to tell us about that was helpful? Or?
Well, again, the fear of fear with, like, the sensations, like, the one where you got a panic attack that I really could relate
right.
to that because I got a little anxiety attack just because of sensations.
Yeah. Yeah. And is it helpful to realize that's all they are is sensations?
Yeah, it's definitely helpful.
Yeah. So I think I said in the book when I had the panic attack, I laid out on the floor and waited for it to pass. But other things like dancing and running around the block 6 times can be really helpful for those too. Just get the energy moving and get it out and change the sensations.
Yeah, that's definitely
mm-hmm.
helpful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, anything else about it?
Not really.
All right. Well, Ziggy, I have to say, it's great to talk with you.
Great to talk with you too, Sherry.
All right. Let's do it again.
Yeah.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you. Go Happy, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, your mom will tell you about Go Happy in case you don't know already.
Yeah, he's
what? Say it again?
Yeah.
I missed something there. Are we saying goodbye?
I said he has a big smile on his face.
Oh, good. So Go Happy. Yep. He relates to that. All right, good. Very good.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, thanks to both of you.
Yeah.
Good to hear your voice too, Mom.
Yeah. It's been great. He's been kind of anxious, and I gave him the fear book, and he's knows a lot about the practice. So.
Yeah. Well, he was born into the practice. So.
Yes. And now he's 12 years old, so.
Wow. Just doesn't seem possible, does it?
No.
Yeah.
No. Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Well, I'm glad he's reading the fear book. I tell you, I wish I'd had the fear book when I was 12 years old and dealing with anxiety. So to be able to bring practice principles to bear and, not stagger around on our own trying to figure this stuff out. What a blessing.
Yes, yes. We are mm-hmm. so grateful to have the book for him. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, the next one, of course, for you too, There's Nothing Wrong With You for Teens. Could be a really good one to dive into next.
Yeah, yeah, I'll order it for him because before mm-hmm. you know it, he'll be here. So.
Exactly. Well, he's ready for it now.
Yeah, and he's also we've done the recording and listening class for kids too. So he did that class.
Yeah, I remember that. That's why I asked him if it was practicing. Yeah.
Yeah.
So he knows he'll get back to it. That'll be a big support. It's good to have that best friend in your pocket.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. All right. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you. Okay.
Thanks. Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Good night, Siggy. Good night, Andrea. And good night, Sherry.
And good night, Ashwini, and everybody. Thank you.
That was just so much fun to hear a new generation of people calling into the radio show. And so articulate about process. Oh, my gosh.
Yes. Yeah. I try not to be envious.
I will try not to be envious. I'm trying not to be the kind
not
of person
you,
who is envious.
I was talking about me, Ashwini, not you.
Okay. Well,
all right.
Thank
Go
you,
happy,
everybody. And we'll talk to you soon. Michael will be back next week.
Oh, all right. Good. Well, thanks for filling in, Ashwini. We appreciate it.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.